Welcome to the FT Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 12th of November, recording at 9:54 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, what have we got here? I think it's a relatively soft picture for the most part on stock markets today, but let's run through a few of them. The exceptions here, Japan, had really quite a good day. The Nikkei 225, this is really an upward dynamic, up 2.23%. And if you look at the chart, that's done it right at a trend line if you connect the lows within the what I've described as the medium-term consolidation pattern overall. But it still requires a sustained break above that 15,000 level to clearly indicate that this lengthy consolidation is over and that the bull market is about to resume. I like Japan. I've said that for all year, really. And on valuations, I keep hearing that they're a little bit tricky to figure out in Japan, but then on a book value basis, that they're about half that of Wall Street. Well, that's good enough for me. Now, also, China a little bit firmer following the plenum meeting, and Taiwan, Korea, getting gains. But India is a real soft spot. I think this is down for the sixth day in a row, and it's over 1% here. So the actual decline is gathering pace. It's also beginning to register an oversold condition, but it clearly needs an upward dynamic in this volatile market really signal that demand is returning. And the problem is that the Indian rupee has been weakening, and therefore we need to see, the against US dollar, the dollar is pushing up quite strongly over the last few days against the rupee, and we need to see a downward dynamic by the dollar against the rupee to indicate that a steadier environment to counteract the fears that are currently experienced by investors in that market. Okay, New Zealand, very strong generally, and firm, a little bit firmer in here again today. Looking at the European markets, they are slightly lower across the boards, nothing over 1% that I can see, but they have been a bit overbought and a bit overextended here in the short term. In the Americas, Wall Street a little lower, although I noticed that the NASDAQ just closed a tiny fraction higher. Wall Street halved its declines that we saw earlier in the day, but nevertheless, the S&P closed down a quarter of a percent in here at 1767 and change. So it's very much range bound here, and while that is helping really to correct a short term overbought condition somewhat, it still looks, the indices are still looking quite overextended on a short-term basis overall. And just to step back from this for a minute, what I noticed just looking at all markets, stock markets, and also looking at what we see in the commodity markets, is that there's plenty of evidence that global GDP growth is really quite slow. Now, I've said this before, and I know that the Wall Street financial talk show, CNBC, and we also see this on Bloomberg TV, that there are plenty of cheerleaders who will come forward tell you that things are doing really quite well and that they're going to continue to do so. But I think you've got a soft, very soft, even stagnant global economy in here right now. Now, the big questions, let's take the USA. Are we going to get a surge in growth here? The companies have the potential to do that, but the big autonomies are, encountering this sluggish global economy. And the Obama administration is a headwind. Administrations generally are a headwind for stock markets, but the Obama administration, I think, particularly so. It's redistributive, for better or for worse, but that doesn't actually help stock market all that much, although the QE has obviously been an incredibly powerful force supporting U.S. equity prices. But then China, following the plenum, are we going to see a pickup in GDP growth? Well, we really need to. And then take Japan, the world's third biggest economy. Well, we need to see some more growth come through in Japan, and then on to Germany. And Germany's had a good rally at least the DAX index, has had a good rally. But is the economy doing all that well? Well, it's doing better than most of the rest of the European economies, but we've got a slow growth environment here. Now, I was handed by a friend and subscriber a report from Fundsmith, and I want to read out a section if I can find it here on stocks that are showing a bit of growth, and here it is. So is we believe that there is a hierarchy of ways to achieve performance. The best way is for companies to grow sales. Second best, if they can't grow volume, is to have the pricing power to keep revenues growing, even if sales are flat. Third best is being able to cut costs. And lastly, is to use surplus cash flow to buy back stock and pay dividends. If the world is going to be stagnant, it's better to have companies who can do all that, including the last, than those who cannot. Well, I think the concern I have, and certainly others have, is that the ability of companies to push their corporate profits up has certainly declined, I think, over possibly as much as the last 6 months in here right now. So problems here is that it's harder to grow sales, and pricing power is also a problem because we have a somewhat disinflationary overall economic environment for corporations right now. So what they have been doing is cutting costs, and the best way that they've been able to do that is to increase the use of technology. In other words, replace workers, or certainly replace expensive workers, and wherever possible with machines. And that doesn't help underlying economies. And the other thing that they have been doing is using the surplus cash, or they've even been borrowing in this quantitative easing regime to buy back stock and to actually pay dividends. Now, that's flattering earnings, and also that process is going to end once we see the end of quantitative easing. Now, that's not a short-term prospect, but it certainly is a medium to longer-term prospect, in my opinion. But right now, we have Wall Street, which has discounted an awful lot of good news regarding quantitative easing, at least good news from in terms of supporting stock markets. And I think we're still vulnerable here. I'm saying that pretty much every day, and the market is just ranging. But I'd be careful in this environment. Looking elsewhere, again, I think that global bond markets, if we see any improvement in growth whatsoever, that they will complete this medium-term consolidation phase that they are in. And I think we've probably seen the reaction lows for U.S. Treasuries. Those 10 years, yields are back up to about 2.75 or a little higher, and they had bottomed last month at that 2.47 level. And I expect to see that 3% level challenged again. We last saw that, and that was around the September high, early September high, I believe. I expect to see that challenge certainly in the first quarter of next year, if it's not sooner. And elsewhere, the U.S. dollar is a bit steady in here on the U.S. dollar index. The yen is soft, 99.64, so that has helped Japan here today. And the euro a little bit firmer here as well, 1.3436. Metals, the precious metals sector. I've been saying that I felt that this was in an overall support building phase, really for quite some time. We're now seeing a bit of a test here on the downside, in that gold, for instance, that has fallen back to 1267 and change, is down 15 here today. So we're testing the October low, and a break in the October low that lasted for more than a day or so would, I think, send out a few warning signals, or would increase the anxiety of some participants. Indeed, silver, I believe, now here at $20.70, that's down 57 cents today. That's testing the September and October lows, as well. And we're getting some short-term oversold conditions, but we will clearly need upward dynamics to again reaffirm demand at the lower side of this range. These, when you get those spike lows and then the lengthy consolidation periods, it's not easy to forecast the short-term moves that are taking place, but you get a lot of fairly choppy ranging. And the important point right now is that we're seeing a test, or we're getting quite close to a test of some meaningful support levels. Now, lastly, we had a sharp drop in the WTI, that's the U.S. crude price. It's down to $93.06. I know the U.S. has an awful lot of crude locked away, and I assume that this is at least in part a sign of all the oil, and particularly the gas that it is producing, and also a lot more commercial vehicles are now using the natural gas. And I think that's a trend that's going to continue. And the Brent, though, that's holding up better, but with 106, it's current, sorry, it's $106 where it's trading, so it is holding up better. But the broad trading range overall has a slight downward bias. So, slow growth environment. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.